strength. Obama, slung low in the irons of his donkey, bears out trying to catch Romney, handwriting, and high in the irons, looking poised and presidential on his elephant. Obama has been heavy on the bat throughout the race, and his blocker had cautioned him about bearing out due to the cuppy track.
And to call the last leg of this race is the Conservative Host Network of Blog Talk Radio. Once again, the conservatives of Blog Talk are collaborating to bring an Election Day special on Election Day, November 6th. That's November 7th for Obama voters.
And if I come off soft, fix you on this.
Are you scared?
Starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Annie, the radio chick, brings you Southern Sense, the number one show time after time. She's doing something right, but she has a message for the libs. Then from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, join the Conservative Nation Radio Girls, featuring women patriots Brenda Ward and Billy Carter, with continuing coverage of the election as it unfolds. From 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, you will be dazzled by Stephen the Voice Vandergast as he brings you continued coverage and maybe even a few guests. From 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, you know him, you love him, he never misses an opportunity to participate in one of these specials, Doc Jones. Doc Jones brings you the Sit Rep, and he will have analysis like no other. Time launches with Dana Smearman from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Dana brings you his hit show, The Conservative Watchtower. Joined by G-Ski Rocks, Dana takes it to the libs and the trolls on each show. So be sure to tune in for that. And what all-day special would be complete without GGT closing the night and sealing the deal? Jermaine brings his super dynamic show, Conservative Primetime.
Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country should have hell been going...
Six shows bringing you close to 12 hours of spectacular coverage of the 2012 presidential and congressional election.
States of America. How do you like that name?
Will it be a squeaker or a blowout?
I'll keep the USA and y'all can keep the change.
And welcome to Women Patriots. Billy and I are here today. We're going to be talking some what we were seeing out there in the each state that we're in, because we have people from different states reporting different things. I'm here in Indiana, where we're usually a Republican state. The turnout has been large. I waited 45 minutes to vote this morning. There were my mom and dad waited 45 minutes. They were there at 6 a.m. and they never wait. So, long line. Took a woman to the polls, waited an hour and a half for her to vote. So, we got a big turnout. Got actually people reporting that they're out for Murdoch and they have Democrats crossing over to vote straight Republican, which is good news for Richard Murdoch, who will be taking over the Senate seat of Lugar. So, that's we keep that seat in the Republican hands. And with that being said, I'm going to bring on Billy and see what's going on in Iowa. Hey, Billy, what's up?
Hey, Brenda. How's everything?
It's good. It's good. I'm feeling pretty good today.
Yeah, actually, I'm wearing my sticker. We did not have to wait in a long line or anything at our polling station, but we did encounter one person trying to vote twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually, the thing that's kind of funny is we started our early voting here in Iowa September, like 25th, I believe it was. And right after we were given our, right after early voting started, we were given our absentee ballots in the mail. And like the day after, for like a week after that, people were caught pillaging through people's trash to try finding those ballots. And the one girl who tried voting twice today, it was because they said, see, what we do, you have to have an ID to register in Iowa, but you don't need it to ID. When you register, you've already shown your ID, and they just check your name off when you say, I am so-and-so. And when you send in your absentee ballot, so you have to put your driver's license number on it. So when she keeps the book today, they said, I'm sorry, you've already received your absentee ballot back. And you can't vote twice, basically. And then, you know, she's like, oh, okay. She actually seemed kind of like, dumb. You know, I didn't get a chance to vote twice.
Interesting.
I was at first thinking, well, maybe she was one of those victims of the trash hoarding, you know? Because we live near South Sioux City, and South Sioux City is a sanctuary city.
Lovely. Yeah. I love them sanctuary cities. All right, go on, sorry.
Yeah. See, the thing is, a lot of those illegal or undocumented, however you want to put it, they come up here to Sioux City and try, you know, going through our trash and finding our absentee ballots to vote and stuff. And that just, you know, it's not something that's allowed. Here in Iowa, we have some pretty strict laws, even with the UN people that are supposed to be at the polling places. I don't know if we had any of those where we were. We have a lot of people just standing around with their arms crossed, doing nothing but watching us. And they were saying that UN people would be arrested in Iowa if they entered the polling station at all, because that's one thing that they're not allowed to do. Foreigners are not allowed in Iowa polling stations. And that was something that was concerning me a little bit, but it seems all fine where we are. I'm wearing my sticker. We went to Chick-fil-A afterwards, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of people who had that same idea.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you know, here, it's so funny here in Allen County where I am in Indiana. We're actually, Fort Wayne is actually the second largest city in Indiana. You know, Indianapolis is the capital. But there were absolutely no Democratic signs outside our polling places, because I guess they just kind of gave up on us. But we still had really heavy turnout in these areas, even though we're highly, highly Republican in these areas. But I thought it was interesting that they didn't even make an attempt to put out a sign in front of the polling place. So,
we actually have like polling station, polling places within every three blocks. You know, you can't go three blocks with bumping into another polling station. And there's not very many in, you know, the polling station area here. Like, I know my ballot was number 292 at my polling station for today.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only like 1,012 people that can vote at that station.
Okay. All right. Well, that should be interesting. We're hearing of record voter turnouts in counties that heavily went for McCain in 2008. But with that, let me bring on Danny Schaus, because he's got news to report from where he's at, which is in the southern part of the United States. Hey, Danny, come on and tell us what you've been seeing today and what's going on.
Well, here in my little area, they had to put up another voting booth, and of course people was using paper ballots and then running them through the machine, but we usually only have two. They had set up three. There was a big rush this morning, and It was enthusiasm.
Yeah, this is something that the pollsters didn't expect. And I'll tell you what I was seeing. I was in Ohio over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I went as part of the strike force. Rick Santorum's been very active, even after he lost his bid for the nomination. But he set up to where we could have these strike forces going into Ohio and Pennsylvania, Iowa even, Billy, and Wisconsin. And I was on the ground there. There was and this was great. There were some college boys that came up from Kentucky. But some people just came in on their own. There was this guy from Tennessee. He just walked in and said, "How can I help?" They had him from Alabama, Carolinas, in Georgia, Texas. There were people from everywhere. Virginia, I guess, had 60 coal miners campaigning in Ohio going door to door in Ohio on Saturday. So, you know, the palpable excitement and the energized, the base is so energized. That I think this is just going to be a landslide. I'm just hoping that, you know, the end results are going to be what we've been hoping for. So.
Yeah, and you know what? The funny thing here in Iowa, too, is that we normally do the paper ballots, you know, you fill in the bubbles. But in select locations, they were trying to transition into those electronic machines.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they had a problem early on with them during the early voting stage. And instead of, like, trying to calibrate them or tamper with them in any way, they decided to just put up a sign that said, you have to push your nominee's button 5 times before it'll take. Because otherwise it keeps switching between the people. Because after the 5th time, it actually would take. And then they decided after that, though, they just started putting the paper ballots back in with everything. Because it was just too many complaints, too much hoopla, you know. It was something they didn't want to have to deal with.
Okay. Yeah, well, and Danny, what were you were hearing off of Fox News, just coming out of Fox News. Why don't you share that with everybody that's listening in?
Well, it was Sean Hannity's radio show, and Bill Cunningham, who is a talk show host out of Cincinnati, called in with some numbers out of Hamilton County, which is the area around Cincinnati, and usually who can do the best in Hamilton County or win the state. And I can't repeat all the numbers. I ain't gonna try, but it was positive news on the numbers.
Yeah, because I hear Hamilton County is a big one. Although we have various reports also coming out of Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago, and Philadelphia of the Black Panthers kicking the GOP judges out, and various, you know, tactics that the left has been using. But I'm hearing there's huge voter turnouts all across the country. So who do we have at 816?
You don't know.
Oh, hey, Thomas. I haven't heard from you in a while. No, you usually Skype in. How are you?
Did,
and how are
I
things
did Skype in?
Oh, well, it's got the 816 number. So
yeah, that's my actual Skype number.
I'm not called.
I didn't call from with my show name. It's my actual number. I'm not in Missouri. I'm in Wichita working with Kenya on her campaign. I didn't vote. So I can't.
Well, that's okay.
Actually, Brenda, it's not okay.
Yeah.
I didn't say,
no,
I
it's not
say
okay.
The reason why I didn't vote. I just said I didn't vote.
I was telling the other day on my show why I missed that because
I can't vote because
you have to get
back
to Missouri, don't you?
No. It had nothing to do with that because part of the election board rules is if you are working in a campaign capacity, you are able to request an absentee ballot. I requested my absentee ballot It's been over 3 weeks ago. I actually requested it before absentee ballot voting started in Kansas City, Missouri. They didn't ever send me my ballot because my name mysteriously disappeared from the voter rolls. And instead, when I put my last name and my birthday in, a young lady or old lady, I don't know who it is, named Sarah Linwood Smith appears. And so then I did a little bit more digging through the website just to verify that she actually exists. She doesn't exist. So here's what I'm going to do.
After, you know, I have to admit, wait 1 second, Thomas, this is kind of funny because you've got one of those names, though, that almost looks like a John Doe type name.
No, Billy. Billy, it's by your birthday. Your birthday.
Oh, I know.
And here's the thing. Explain to me, then, if that was the case, how come Moore Smith did not show up as being registered?
I don't know. I'm just saying that when it comes to, like, you know, I want to say when people would be suspicious of any name that someone comes out with, if someone says Thomas Smith, I mean, that almost sounds like a John Doe type name.
It's by your last name and your birthday. My first name, they don't ask you for your first name. It's put your last name in and your birthday. And that's what I did. Now,
no, I'm not trying to talk about what happened to you. I'm just saying in general. In general, that's just the consensus. I mean, Thomas Smith is kind of like the name that you sign in to hide from your wife when you're having an affair. You know?
Yeah, and that isn't okay, Thomas, if that's what happened to you. But, you know, it also happened to the girl. She's from Massachusetts, and she's working in the Romney Victory Center there in Athens, Ohio, and they never sent her absentee ballot either, even though she had requested it. So this is not just with you. This has happened to other people, too, and that's not okay.
But the difference is what I'm going to do about it.
Yeah.
The difference is I'm not going to just kind of sit back and complain about it. After the election, and I'm already in research and looking and searching, the KCEB is about to get hit with a major lawsuit. And what's going to happen is it's going to bring everybody else who's been disenfranchised out of the woodwork.
Well, and rightfully so, you know, because some of those are our military.
I think we have Dana Smearman on. Is that you, Dana?
It is, Billy. How are you?
Oh, I'm Peachy King, Jelly Bean.
Well, first of all, I wanted to thank you ladies for jumping in here late and filling this important slot in the day with this all-day coverage we're trying to put together. That was really really awesome of you to do that at such a short notice, so it's much appreciated.
Oh, well, you're very welcome.
I had seen some people were interested in what's happening in Pennsylvania. I am on the ground here in Pennsylvania, and I can tell you that there is massive turnout in Pennsylvania. Here in the western part of the state, I live not too far from downtown Pittsburgh. I can tell you the polling places, just was out taking my son to work. There are still lines everywhere here in Pennsylvania. And I can tell you from the folks that I have been out speaking with, there is a strong turnout here for Mitt Romney and for Tom Smith, who is challenging the incumbent Bob Casey Jr. here on the Democrat ticket. Around our area, no sign of any shenanigans, but we in the eastern part of the state, Philadelphia, I do know there are some problems out in the eastern part of the state, but that's pretty typical for Pennsylvania.
Yes, and that's sad, though. Why is that typical? Why is that okay? It shouldn't be. I'm seeing, I think it was in Philly or Chicago, they got this big Obama mural on the wall in the voting place, and yet you can't wear a T-shirt or anything into the polls, you know? And why are they allowed to get away with this? This has got to stop, you know?
You know, Brenda, it's much like California. I lived in that state, too. It's like two states in one. You go down the middle of Pennsylvania, and you draw a line to the west, and you have typical, good, hardworking people. Those are the people that Barack Obama was mocking with his clinging to the guns and religion type. And you get to the east of that line, out towards Philadelphia, out towards the New Jersey border, a very liberal part of the state. Some of the suburbs around Philadelphia tend to be more Republican, but it's like two states in one. This year, the reason there's so much enthusiasm on the western part of the state is that this part of the state, we have a huge energy boom going on right now, not just coal, but with this Marcellus Shale and the oil and natural gas, and that is really turning people out to vote.
I just wanted to say, you know, I was saying earlier, I went to Chick-fil-A after we went boating, and it was amazing. We see our Chick-fil-A, they just opened a new one, and they the guy who is helping them, like, organize through the open house and everything, he's from Pennsylvania. And it was funny because I'm like, so did you have to send in an absentee ballot? And he's like, you know, I actually didn't get a chance. This is the first time since college I have not been able to vote. And his ballot, you know, he said his wife called to tell him that he got his ballot. And then he thought about it after he talked to his wife, and he's like, I should have just told her to send my son out and vote for me because we got the same name. And because now they, you know, now they decided not to go with that, after, you know, the voter ID law.
Yeah.
And he's like, but that would still be wrong, you know, but still, it was something that he's like, I just don't want to miss a vote. But he had, because he's here in Iowa.
Sure. I think what people are, I've seen some people, I think maybe Holger was the one who mentioned it. I think what these polls have underestimated is the enthusiasm.
Yes.
The turnout, I know even in neighboring Ohio, I've got friends in Ohio, people in Hamilton County, which is the county surrounding Cincinnati, I've heard my friends over there telling me that the turnout there is just unbelievable. And that's a very Republican district, and you're having people standing in line 2-3 hours to vote there. I don't think these models take that into account, ladies. I really don't.
No, I did not. I know they don't. I've been saying all along, I take everything that they have averaged out, I add at least 3 percentage points for Romney, because I look back to 2010. I don't go back to 2004. I don't go back to 2008. I go to 2010. And I see that that's the most recent vote, and that's the one to actually try, you know, matching again, so to speak. And I think that's what we're going to see. I really do. But the thing, another thing that I was going to say here in Iowa that I don't know if it has really hit the news, but it did in our local papers about they ended up arresting a Canadian man for trying to vote here and a Mexican citizen, a citizen of Mexico, trying to vote here in Iowa. And I guess the Obama team became very upset, and they are actually saying that we can't arrest, you know, foreign nationals that are here at the request of, like, the NAACP or whoever is requested they be here. But you know what? If you're here to monitor our elections, don't try voting in them.
Well, yeah, you know, and each state has different rules, though. I mean, you're talking about Iowa. Pennsylvania has the same rule. You cannot be a foreigner and be inside the polling place. Whether you're there at the behest of an organization or a campaign, you cannot be a foreign national and be in the polling place. I mean, that's
right.
And, of course, every state's different, but that's here as well as in Iowa. You know, this is just something that it doesn't surprise me, but I think what we're seeing here is such a turnout, like you were saying, you know, Billy, 2010 model, where Republicans are so enthusiastic that I really think there's going to be such numbers that no matter what they try to pull, it just really isn't going to matter.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's what we had to do. We had the turnout in numbers because we couldn't have it come down to just Ohio or just, you know, Pennsylvania, you know, because then they'll try to say, they're already saying it. They're accusing us of cheating. And yet, we're not the ones cheating. It's like, I just saw a tweet from Alyssa Milano, and it said that, you know, the machines were changing the name from Obama to Romney.
Oh,
and I just tweeted back. It's been going on, you know, the other way for days. But so we have to have huge, huge turnout in all these other cities. Actually, I wish Holger Awakens would call in, because they're on the ground in Minnesota and said the lines are huge in Minnesota. And I've been predicting for a couple of days that Minnesota could go Romney's way, because there's a marriage initiative on the ballot.
And mm-hmm. see, I'm not even surprised. I will not be surprised if he wins Michigan at all. That will not surprise me.
I don't know how things are going there, except for in Detroit. They got some cheating going on in Detroit. Guns in the polling places in Detroit.
But Detroit is not all of Michigan. Detroit is not all of Michigan. And Detroit's population has really gone down these last few years.
Get Cool Mike on here. He has that area. He may know more about that if he actually would call in.
Yeah, guys, if you're out there and you're in one of these states we're talking about, let's hear. We'd like to have some on the ground reporting so that we know what's going on all across this nation, and we can have some more, you know, in depth coverage. And here comes somebody from 763. Let's see who it is. Okay, who do we have at 763?
Greetings from Minnesota.
Oh, yes. There's the Minnesota.
This is Holger. Yeah.
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 I'm just calling in to give Dana a sobriety check.
Yeah. Too late. Too late, Holger. Too late.
So, hey, what's going on there in Minnesota? Give us the lowdown on what's happening.
Well, I believe it or not, coming from this state, I actually live in a very conservative district. We're on the west side of the Twin Cities. So it's kind of actually a pretty good sign because, it's going to be mostly conservative as far as the turnout at this polling place that I vote at. And I got there about 9 o'clock and it was mobbed. I mean, it was almost hard to find a parking spot. And I know full well that, you know, they opened at 7, that it would have been just swamped at that time. So anyway, I was out for most of the day, and then I came by there about 45 minutes ago, and the parking lot was exactly the same, just absolutely jammed. So I think that's a very, very good sign that the conservatives here are turning out big, and plus we've got two very contested amendments to our state constitution on the ballot here. One's for voter ID and one's for an amendment saying that marriage is between a man and a woman. And it's been just a Donnybrook up here with this. So there's a lot of people that I think, quite frankly, there's conservatives that, you know, might not be that thrilled about Romney are going to the polls because of these two amendments. And I think obviously when they're there, they're not going to vote for Obama. So I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, it's going to be a stretch for this state to go against Obama. It's going to be a real stretch. But
it was polling within two. It was the last few polls coming out of there were pretty close. So
well, you know what's interesting is that like a week and a half ago, there had not been a single advertisement on the TV here for either Romney or Obama.
Uh-huh.
Then all of a sudden, you know, these polls came out, and all of a sudden, instead of Obama being up by 9-10 points, he was only up by like 5. So pretty soon Romney starts running. So we saw Romney ads for like 2 days straight. And then all of a sudden, Obama starts slipping the ads in. So the last 2-3 days, it's just been nonstop. So that tells me that both camps figured that this was at least getting close to up to grabs to start pouring that money in here. So,
which wouldn't that be interesting? I mean, wouldn't that send a message? If we can turn some of these solid blue states to even just a little red, I mean, that's going to send the message to these liberals on the coast that no, this country is not yours, and we don't agree with you, and we're not going to let it happen. And I'm really praying, hoping. I've been, as Billy and Thomas and Danny know, I've been working for months, you know, for this, because it's just so important that we win this election for America, America, you know, not for revenge, as Obama would say, but to get this country headed in the right path. And keep us on track, you know, and have a country to pass on to our children. So,
I have a question for Holger. Holger, when's the last time Minnesota went for a Republican president?
1972.
There you go. Okay. That answers the question. Yeah.
So So, yes, in 1980, Minnesota went for Jimmy Carter. 1984, we went for Mondale. For 1988, we went for Dukakis.
So, if this well, actually does, so if Minnesota actually does go red, I think it might just shut up the pundits on the television.
Is Minnesota the only one that didn't go for Reagan then? Because I remember he won 49 states.
Yep.
Aren't you the lucky
guy?
Yeah,
it was the only state, and I think it was one of two that went for Mondale. So.
My word.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd like to live here.
If Minnesota goes for Romney, you know, look out your window. You're more likely to see a herd of pigs flying by.
well,
not to be
not
confused by progressives flying, but...
I'm going to tell you what, they would not waste their money on you if it wasn't within the realm of possibility, because here in Indiana, Romney's been up double digits from the beginning, okay, and they didn't waste any money here. In fact, we had to buy our own signs to put out at the polls for the Romney, because we didn't even get signed here. You know, we got about 3,000 signs here in Indiana, so we've had to, you know, they haven't done anything for us here, but so if they're putting ads out, that's something telling
Well, the same thing happened here in Pennsylvania. You know, earlier in the summer, there were polls saying that you had Obama by 10 to 12 points in this state. Somewhere within the last few weeks, the Romney camp must have gotten some internal polling, because all of a sudden we start seeing Romney ads. Then we're starting to get visits by both Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan and their surrogates. And I think they actually waited until the last few weeks, like a little head fake, not to let Obama know what they were going to do, and they began to pour money into this state. And this afternoon, Mitt Romney was actually in Pittsburgh this afternoon before he goes back to Boston. So I think they believe that they can win this state, and that's something that, you know, 2 months ago I don't think anybody, you know, would have said. Okay.
I just think there's a big this big thing that they're missing is June 5th of this year. It was the Wisconsin recall, and everyone had all the pollsters kept saying, oh, it's going to be close, it's going to be close, and he wiped Barrett clean. I mean, he sweeped the floor with them. And the thing I get out of that is there is a majority of people out there, they're not counting in these polls. There is a lot of people who just aren't being considered when they're doing the polls.
The polling is all done, Billy, you know, with this whole idea that they're looking at that the last election. You know, if you notice these models, they're all D+7, D+11, and they're doing this because they assume that there's going to be that much more Democrats who are going to be motivated to vote. And you hit it on the head earlier. They totally discount what happened in 2010. They think that's an anomaly, okay? And that's why these polls are based this way. So, you know, I told someone earlier today they were all worried about the exit polling coming out. I told them, do not be worried about exit polling, the most inaccurate of all polling. You know, in 2004, we had people by 4 o'clock in the afternoon telling us that John Kerry was going to be the next president because of exit polling.
Right.
Ignore that stuff. Go vote. Go do what you got to do and let the rest take care of itself.
And not only that, I mean, the thing with exit polling is it's like you're admitting to what you just did. And I know there's a lot of people who, especially in Pennsylvania, they're not going to say, I just voted for Romney in front of the Black Panthers right next to them. You know?
That's right.
They're not going to say that. When
now, I would do that.
I would.
Just me.
I would.
I know there's some brave souls out there. There are some brave souls out there. But I'm talking about the general, you know, cowardice of a person who just is intimidated by that, you know?
Can I tell you the secret to Pennsylvania, which might be the secret to many of these states, and the reason I think Romney's going to win, is what I call this year's version of the forgotten man, which is what we used to call Reagan Democrats. My entire family, I'm the only Republican in the family, okay? The only one. And I got a father-in-law, 69 years old, never voted for a Republican for president in his life. First thing this morning, he cast a vote for Mitt Romney. My whole family is going to vote Mitt Romney, the first time they've ever voted for a Republican for president. I think it's those people that these polls don't take into account. Democrats that are dissatisfied with this administration because they don't feel that the Democrat Party represents who they are.
Yeah.
No?
And
I think there's just, I just wanted to throw this, and I don't know if anybody's seen it in any other state, but the Democrats sent in, or Obama's crew sent in Bill Clinton into Minnesota here twice in the last 2-3 weeks. And the two visits that Bill Clinton made here, he made in up at St. Cloud State University, which actually was more, I think, more an attempt to try and get at Michelle Bachmann. But the other trip was to the University of Minnesota, and I'm thinking to myself, why would they need to go to a college campus at this stage of the race? I mean, that if that's not their, you know, if they can't count on the college kids voting liberal, I mean, to me, that's like a wasted trip. So
and
I think that just shows, that shows that there just isn't the enthusiasm. Like Dana said, you know, they're pulling off of 2008 projections and stuff. I mean, in 2008, I mean, I don't think there was a college kid in the country that didn't vote on that day. On that day. And I think they're concerned that there's not going to be any turnout.
Well, you know, and here's the thing with the college kids, because I know Rick Santorum's been going to colleges and having debates with liberals. Herman Cain has actually been out talking to college kids about jobs and job solutions and how, you know, the economy really runs, and they receive him really well. And I have met tons of college kids that are not voting for Obama this time because they're waking up to what's really going on. So, but that's just desperation. If you notice, he goes into the colleges and tries to get that vote. The lady in Ohio told me, because Athens is actually the home of, there's Ohio University there, and it's a liberal town. She said he had a big campaign event and told them all to get out and vote, and they didn't go out and vote the next day. So, you know, I think we're seeing some positive things that he's not going to be able to, he can't sway those kids like he did in 2008. And we're also seeing, I don't know if any of you other people saw this, but in Chicago, the African-American community was out protesting Acorn, Rahm Emanuel, and the union. And, you know, they were saying, you want our vote, and yet you're tearing down our houses. So, you know, you guys, you know, I don't want to just come right out and say it, because I know they're going to cheat like crazy in Chicago, but, you know, let's see what happens in Illinois.
Yeah, I you know what? Everyone kept telling me I was crazy, but I said I would not be shocked by Illinois. And I'm not saying that because of Ann Coulter or anybody else. I was saying it long before her because of the whole I had gotten a hold of something called Shisa. I can't remember what it was called. It was something about remaking of Acorn and what their plans are. And their plans are basically in a Valerie Jarrett led style of tearing down all kinds of houses. First, you know, like they buy up the land and then they get it subsidized by the government so that they can rebuild low-income housing and stuff like that. And it's a very sophisticated project, which is very also devious to the person who actually owns the land and stuff. And I was like, you know what? They're not going to like this stuff in Illinois. I can guarantee it. It's a big-time step on people's personal property rights.
That's what they were protesting. They were protesting because it was an underhanded way that they came in and were taking their houses and then, you know, tearing them down to do I don't know what with. But this was just happening a day or so ago in Chicago. And actually, early voting numbers in Ohio are down for the Democrats. They're down like 250,000 votes over where they were in 2008 in the early voting. So, and the Republican early voting was up. So, go ahead.
Chicago's down 57% in early voting.
Yeah, and see, that's huge, because if you bring out the rest of the state and Chicago does not vote heavily, of course, that doesn't mean they won't cheat, but if they don't vote heavily, you know, it is entirely a possible scenario. But I'm just getting a little excited as we get closer, and I hope that everything we're seeing on the ground translates, you know. So.
Right, and I think that motivation is there. I really do. I think it's you know, it's a downward flowing motivation that we're seeing. And I just think so. I'm not someone who tries predicting this outcome, but I'm a little excited in it and saying I'm hopeful. I'm more hopeful than I was, you know, before the first debate and everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's important to focus. We also need to look at, there's a lot of other races that are going to be going on tonight that are important. You know, Brenda, you mentioned Indiana, Richard Murdoch, who...
Got to win, guys.
I just want him in the U.S. Senate because this man is a solid conservative. He's the kind of person that we need. If we're going to give the White House to President Romney, we've got to have people in the House and the Senate who are going to give him the kind of legislation that he needs to be signing. I think that that's critical. And Richard Murdoch, I know they tried to smear him. They did their best. And I hope he comes out of that thing because I'm a big fan of his. Also in Ohio, you've got Josh Mandel going up against Sherrod Brown, who is about as close to a socialist as you can be without actually calling yourself a socialist.
He calls himself a socialist quite often. Yeah.
So that'll be critical. George Allen in Virginia. I mean, there are several critical Senate races that
right.
you know, we're going to be looking at as well tonight.
Well, let me tell you about Richard Murdoch, because I know his campaign manager of Northeast Indiana, and their internal polling as of yesterday, because I talked to her yesterday when I was phone banking, was they were up 3% in Indiana. And the voter turnout today has been big. And so I'm really feeling good about Richard Murdoch. So that gives you some peace. So,
And Brenda, Becca Lower from Ohio, is feeling really good about Josh Mandel, too. But, you know, the thing is with Sherrod Brown, you know, he's just as devious as they come. So you don't know.
That's some Democrat. And you know what? Here's what really gets me, guys, okay? People like Richard Murdoch tell the truth, okay? They asked him, you know, well, how do you feel in cases of rape, okay? He's just telling you honestly how he feels. So here's a man that's not willing to lie to get himself elected into office, and the press goes after him in a frenzying feeding and, you know, tries to make it this huge deal. And I'm saying, here we have an honest man. You want changes in Washington, you've got to elect the honest man, not the one that's you double talk, you know?
But see, Brenda, you know, that was their play to the atheist. That was their play to the atheist, because what did he say? That basically God creates life. And that was the one thing that really, you know, that's where they were trying to get to their certain... See, that's what they do. They act in segments. They go to one part of their electorate. And that's who they're trying to get pissed off, so to speak.
Well, the thing is in women, actually, because, you know, the rape thing was an issue.
You know what? I'm a woman. I am.
I know. I am, too.
I'm a woman, and I'm not pissed off. I agree with every word he said.
Oh, I do, too.
I agree with Murdoch, but Aiken got under my skin. I'm not going to lie. Aiken got under my skin with what he said, and I really wish he would have dropped out. But because I'm afraid of what will come out of his mouth in the Senate if he gets there. Really. I'm serious. I mean, the things he said were absolute lies. There is no evidence anywhere. I mean, you can quote any kind of study or make up any kind of study saying, you know, so-and-so percentage doesn't get raped or doesn't get pregnant if you're raped. You know, it's just foolishness to think that a sperm egg doesn't create life. But anyway, yeah, I don't want to rant about that crap. Go on.
And, two of the Senate candidates that I've been tweeting for, Dan Bongino in Maryland. There's big turnout in Maryland. And Barry Hinckley in Rhode Island. Record GOP turnout in Rhode Island.
Nice.
Yeah, this is. I just can't wait for these results to start rolling in, because it's got to translate. You know, the polls have been saying he's up among independents, and that the Democratic registration is down. There's almost an even split between Republicans and Democrats. So you know that with this, and people are, most Americans are patriotic. You know, I know you have your exceptions, especially on the East Coast and the West Coast, where the media is focused, and they seem to think that the whole, you know, all America thinks this way because this is the way they think. And they're overlooking us people, who have up till this point been kind of silent about what we think and how we believe, but we've
steadily been plugging along with our lives. And it's we, the people, who are getting out to the polls today, and hopefully we're going to make a very, very loud statement.
It's happening everywhere. In Pennsylvania, I have a race here in my congressional district, which is between a guy by the name of Mark Crist and Keith Rothfuss. Now, Crist is a Democrat, and he runs around when he comes home here from Washington telling everybody he's one of these so-called blue dog Democrats. He's a moderate. He does this. But the one thing that's dragging him down is he voted for Obamacare. There are still people out there, okay, who remember them ramming Obamacare down our throat, and there's a lot of voters who are looking, I think, for a little more payback, if you will, on that issue. So that's something that may play itself out.
Yeah, in fact, we have yard signs around here in Iowa that say, you know, it says something to the effect of read it before you pass it from now on, then you can keep your job or something like that, but until then, we're going to fire everyone who didn't read the bill and voted to pass it. It's more of a billboard, but it's something that, you know, it just makes too much sense that they don't get it.
No. Well, you know, the media never gets it because they, too, are part of the problem. They don't understand people like us at all, any more than some of these politicians do. They don't understand what motivates people to the polls. You know, I see ads here being run by the Democrat, you know, congressional committee. You know, they still got this thing that you know, the Republicans are going to end Medicare for seniors. They're still running the Metascare thing. And you know what? The seniors, at least in this part of the country, aren't buying that anymore. Okay? They understand what Obamacare is going to do to Medicare Advantage, which many of the folks here like. They like that program. So I don't think the usual Democrat tactics were as effective this year as they have been in the past.
Yeah, I think we're working up. And actually, one of the people I was helping out at the GOP headquarters, and one of the people that called in is a woman in a nursing home who had no ride to the polls. And originally I was going to take her husband, too. He had a stroke, and he was in a wheelchair, but he didn't have his ID. And here in Indiana, we do have to have voter ID. But she wanted to get out and vote, 80 years old, and she wanted to make sure she got out and voted in this election. And so, you know, I was able to help her with that. But I don't think it's working, you know, because they're seeing, and here's the thing about Obamacare, it's not going to help seniors. It's actually, and they're, like with this first thing that implemented where the hospital can't readmit within 30 days, you're going to see hospitals not admitting patients who need to be admitted because they're not going to get paid by the government, even if it's an unrelated illness to what they were admitted before. And that it's not a good thing in any way, shape, or form. So
this goes back all the way to the first time that the Democrats tried to quote-unquote fix our medical system, and that was when Kennedy championed this whole idea of HMOs. Okay, the HMOs then come up with this idea called diagnostic-related groups, and they essentially will tell hospitals before patients come in, based on a diagnosis, this is how many days in the hospital we're going to pay for. Okay, so what ends up and happens? Well, people are going to go in. If you have 4 days for a certain disease process and you stay 5 days, the hospital is going to start losing money. The system didn't work. It didn't work like it was supposed to work because, of course, it's not based on any rational model. Anytime they come in and they start screwing with the system, you know, there's just all sorts of bad things that happen.
Right.
They need to remove themselves from it, get out of the way.
Agree.
And then that way, the insurers, the doctors, the patients, they will decide on the system that best works for them. Okay? And I think people slowly, maybe not as fast as we were, idea that maybe the doctors, the nurses, and the insurance companies aren't the enemy here. Perhaps it's the government.
It is, actually, and they've put in so many regulations, and we have to have HIPAA compliance people. We have to have hire all these extra people,
right.
You know, quality assurance people, all because of the government regulations and the reimbursement rate that we get from Medicare. At least for my doctors who treat cancer patients, we get about 25 cents on the dollar. Yeah, and anybody, you know, that's not even paying for the treatments, but that's what we get. You know,
and
it's ridiculous.
The key is for any patient, though, is no matter what, if you have or if you feel like anything on your bills or whatever is unjust, you have to speak up. You have to hire a lawyer and you have to get something done. Because let me tell you, I had an HMO and I loved my HMO. I really did. I know a lot of people hated them, but all I had to do was speak up, and they covered everything. When I was 27 years old, my gallbladder had exploded inside me, and I went to the doctor, and at first they were trying to tell me, oh, it's menstrual cramps. Then I went back to the emergency room. Oh, no, it's nothing. And then I went back on my third time. They finally put that ink stuff inside me and gave me a morphine drip because of how much pain I was in. And they found out that I had ripped open my gallbladder. It was totally ripped open and poison was seeping into my body. Well, the thing is, my HMO sent me a bill after I got out of the hospital and they removed my gallbladder. But I was actually asleep for like 5 days under that morphine drip, and I had to stay in the hospital another week after that. And they sent me this bill for like $200,000, saying, this is your share of all that, because we only allow like 4 days for a gallbladder removal. And I went right to them, and I said, no, I'm not seeing any of this. I said, I went to the emergency room, and they couldn't find it. I went in and I told them the whole thing, and they covered the whole thing.
Yeah.
They took into account, and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, see, I think what happens when you have the government inserting itself, once again, it just distorts the market. You know, HMOs, when they came along, they were supposed to, their whole reason of being was to cap costs. But what they did, an unintended consequence, was they started offering these $10 copays to go to the doctor, right? Which sounds good in theory, except now you have all these people who may have decided, you know, I'm just going to go to Walmart and buy my kids some cough medicine or get some medicine because this is just a bad cold. Now they're encouraged to go to the doctor, okay? So you have more demand for these services, but the pay for these services is not anywhere where it needs to be. So it distorts the market again. The same thing is going to happen with Obamacare because you can't insure 40 million or whatever number they throw out. You can't insure more people and yet keep costs down. It just can't be done. And that's why you have to have a market solution. Here's an idea for folks. When I was young, we had what they would call catastrophic insurance. We used to call it hospitalization. You know, we didn't have doctor's insurance. We were insured for catastrophic costs. The rest of it, you know, my dad paid for a doctor visit out of his pocket. Okay, but when you do that, I mean, there is a, you know, I tell people all the time, if you don't have insurance, you know, a doctor in a hospital, they're just like any other business, negotiate a price. But people don't feel comfortable doing that sometimes, okay? There are market solutions, and one more thing I want to throw out here is all of this reform we saw in Obamacare, not one mention about one of the single biggest drivers of healthcare costs, which is, of course, lawsuits and tort reform, never going to be touched at all.
And that's the one thing that Romney said he will address.
It has to be addressed. Because unless you do, you're not going to – all these doctors that are out there doing – I was in the medical – worked in the medical field for about – you'd see it working in emergency rooms. You'd have a patient come in. You maybe had an idea what was wrong with them. But these doctors would have to order every test to mankind, not because they actually needed it. A lot of them knew already what the diagnosis was going to be, but they were protecting themselves.
Right.
They were going to make sure that they had all kinds of information in this patient's file so that if a lawsuit comes up later, they're covered.
Right. And see, that's just it. Even my own pediatrician for my children, he's retiring if Obama wins. He said that. Because his own malpractice insurance costs more than he makes. You know, because he has to cover every part of his butt that he can, including the crack, he said.
Well, here's just a little thing that they do in Obamacare. You know, I'm an asthmatic, and I, for years, have used the little Primatene mist inhalers because I didn't want to go to the doctor all the time and, you know, have to go get a prescription and fill. Primatene mist worked very well for me when I needed to have a little inhaler. What did they do? Last year, as of last December 31st, you can no longer buy that. Because of provisions within Obamacare. They're dispensing over-the-counter drugs. They're cutting back on that. How is that going to help the common person, right? It doesn't. That's in there because drug companies who help write the law wanted it in there, okay?
Yeah, I know. You know, my son just had to get a prescription to get a wart removed off his finger. And it's like, why can't I get Compound W anymore? Oh, well, you know, they can't even really sell that anymore just over the counter. You have to get a prescription, and then it still costs money.
Right. And that's why I think a lot of people, when you're going to the polls and people who are yet to vote, I hope they think about this, because one of the biggest things that has to happen if we're going to save this country, we're going to save our economy, we've got to get rid of Obamacare. It has to go. And if Harry Reid's the majority leader in the Senate, I got news for folks, that's not going to happen. Okay.
Yeah, and that's why Richard Murdoch and Josh Mandel and some of these racers are so, so important, you know, because we have to get them out of the Senate. So,
you know, the thing is with, like, some insurances, and the reason I said it still costs money, I meant because a lot of insurances, they cover your prescriptions. I know for, like, my husband being in the military, they cover all of our prescription costs.
Right.
But the thing is, then sometimes our premiums go up, or sometimes, you know, there's just added costs elsewhere, like to co-pays and such like that. But it's something that they're collecting on and they're paying on. And that is, it's a system that works. And when you're doing something for people who are paying nothing at all, it's just, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's just something that really bothers me. And it's something that it brings a complacency that we don't need in this country.
Right. And you guys, you know, I'm also in healthcare. I'm a nurse, actually. And you know, we have a healthcare cost problem, not a healthcare problem in this country. And this Obamacare thing did nothing to control cost of healthcare. All it did was place restrictions on doctors, place taxes on the middle class, place restrictions on the care that you're going to be able to deliver to the elderly and maybe even some disabled. I don't know if it's going to go that far. But, you know, we need to look at a bill that's going to deal with the cost of delivering health care to help bring that down. And despite what people think, it's not the doctors.
No.
You know, it's not the doctors becoming millionaires off of your money. These guys go to school. They go to school for 8 years. They do a 3-year internship. They have huge bills when they come out, but they're not making all that money. And what they do make, they deserve because they do long hours. You know, some of them do call at night. So, saying, you know, oh, well, that doctor makes too much money. It's like, no.
I have a brother-in-law who not only went for 8 years, but he took on 4 more years to study Oriental medicine, and he did a lot of medicine stuff overseas. He's more of an herbologist. I go to him for herbologist type suggestions instead of, you know, over-the-counter drugs. But he's still a regular surgeon, practitioner, everything. And he still pays over $1,900 a month for his own education. So, you know.
Right. Because they have to keep up their education. They can't just not. Medicine changes so much.
Absolutely.
So.
And that's something that a lot of people should be taking in. They're just not. They're saying, so what? He's wealthy, I'm not. And he's not really well. I mean, he is wealthy, don't get me wrong. But he deserved it. He's doing a lot of stuff that I would never even try doing. You know? So I think he deserves more pay than I do. I don't understand this whole equality theory that's out there. You know,
that's a feel good thing that they do. Look, the reason doctors get paid more is because, as compared to people who can go put fries in the fryer, okay, there's very few people who can actually do what it takes to be a doctor. The specific skills, the ambition it requires, means only a select percentage of people are going to be able to become a physician. Okay. The same thing goes with nurses. Not everybody can be a nurse. Not everybody can be, involved in healthcare because they don't have the skills needed to do it. So those people should get paid according to the demand and the supply. Right. That's really what this is about.
And don't get me wrong. There's people who just have no desire to wipe people's butt.
Exactly. and that's why I said ambition is part of it. You know, you have to want to do those jobs. And The thing that you have to understand about healthcare, and like Brenda was saying, it's not the cost of doctors or nurses that's driving healthcare costs through the roof. That's not what's doing it whatsoever. We need to have some free market principles instituted within healthcare. You know, Medicare is really what drives reimbursement rates. You have a bunch of people in Washington who are deciding how much oxygen should be reimbursed for instance. These senators have no idea about patients and what they need to, you know, who needs oxygen, who doesn't, but yet they get to make these decisions. You need to take those decisions out of those people's hands and put them into hands of folks who understand it. I'd like to know how many healthcare professionals were consulted on this Obamacare bill. Okay, how many people got input into this? Because I doubt it was very many. Okay?
Even the ones that are in the Senate, you know, even I have to say Ron Paul himself is a doctor. He's a medical doctor, and he himself has said none. There were zero medical people who were consulted on this. And that's where a lot of people draw the line, just like you did. You know, sure, if they had doctors on this board, it might have gone over a little bit easier with some people. But there's no doctors. These are bureaucrats. These are lobbyists.
And this bill was not about health care for the American people. This bill was about the government taking more control and more money from the American people. It was never about you getting quality health care. And that's what people need to understand. That's why it was a 2,000-page bill. That's why they didn't read it. So, you know, it's...
you're right, Brenda, and that's the problem that we're finding right now. You're right; it was never about healthcare. And if you notice, when they speak, they never speak about healthcare. They speak about access to healthcare. They speak about healthcare coverage. You know, we all might have an insurance policy when this is all said and done, but am I going to have a doctor to go see? Okay, it's
no.
The question. That's what I'm saying. You know, so
you're not, because I know a lot
many
of doctors.
You know,
they can't afford to practice.
Survey after survey that tells us that these doctors are not going to stay in business, and why should they? Why should they? These guys are all, these ladies are all smart. They probably could go do 100 other things, okay?
Yeah, and you know, they didn't even understand one thing. That they don't understand the free will of the person, of the people out there. They don't understand the free will of a doctor. They sat there and they added more toward Medicare or whatever they did, but they took the money away from giving it to any doctors, you know? They took the money away from giving it to the people who really deserve it, and they put it into Obamacare. And then the doctors are sitting here getting orders, marching orders, so to speak, from the government that you have to take on more Medicare patients or Medicaid, whichever it was. And you know how many doctors say, we're not taking that on, we're quitting. We would sooner quit than cut our pay into down to a quarter of what it is.
You can't have a doctor's practice and have exclusive Medicaid patients, because if you think Medicare has bad reimbursements, right, try Medicaid.
It's a quarter of it. It is. Yeah, it's a quarter of it. According to my doctor, on average, they get a quarter of what they get from a regular patient.
But, you know, anything this government's done, ladies, it's been like this. Whether it's Obamacare or now he was running around on the campaign trail talking about Dodd-Frank. Well, it's a nightmare. If you look through Dodd-Frank, what's it doing? You know, we were gotten this trouble, we're told, because there were banks that got too big to fail. Yet within the pages of Dodd-Frank, you find that this encourages banks to merge with one another and once again become too big to fail. You know,
right.
It's now interfering in the real estate market, you know, how mortgages are being delivered. And a lot of costs that these banks are going to incur are going to get passed on to who? They're going to get passed on to us. So
I just had to fill out a ton of paperwork at my bank because my husband, who is in the military, when he goes overseas, I am his power of attorney. And now, in order to be his power of attorney over our account, because his name's first on it, I mean, they said, you know, the easy way would be take his name off of it while he's gone. I'm like, no. I mean, we've had this account for years.
Yeah.
But then it's like, or you can fill out all this paperwork, get legalized documents, do all this notarizing and all this other crap. And we're like, you know, now there's all these hoops to go through
right. That
is making our life miserable because we have to do it by a certain deadline. Otherwise, it just won't happen.
Well, and what they're doing now, these banks, because of Dodd-Frank, partially, not totally, but partially because of the way the language is written about mortgages, all it says in Dodd-Frank is acceptable mortgages. These banks may make acceptable mortgages, but they never describe what an acceptable mortgage is. Okay, so these banks are now not loaning money for people to buy homes, those people who have the credit to do so. So what the banks are now doing is all this money the Fed is printing, they're printing all these trillions of dollars, they're pumping it out to the banks. Instead of the banks loaning it for people to buy cars or houses or start businesses, treasuries, okay? So basically what you have is a bank can make 3% right buying a treasury bond. So all we're really doing is having money printed, sent to the banks, and it's being sent back into the treasury, and we're paying interest to these banks to act like kind of a middleman, all right? There's no economic job growth or that's going to happen under those conditions. This is what people have to understand.
You see, starting in 2006 is when that housing bubble was actually getting inflated more than anything because of, I know that Barack Obama was part of this with Frank and Dodd and someone else, and they got into it about how minorities are being disenfranchised in owning homes. They can't do it because they don't qualify with banks. Banks won't lend to them. And it's not because they're minorities. It's because their credit score is not high enough or whatever. And a friend of mine who works for Wells Fargo, she showed me a memo she got one that was back, I think it was 2007, that actually was from the Congress saying they will lower their standards no matter what. They have to let people get houses. And if they don't, they will be facing all kinds of lawsuits for discrimination.
Right.
And right. Then they did it. They lowered the standards, but nobody paid the damn loans back.
No.
And now what did they do? They went to crying to Elizabeth Warren saying, oh, but we didn't read the fine print. Wah, wah, wah. It's all legal jargon. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah.
And then now that's what stupid Warren is out there talking about. I mean, it's ridiculous. I cannot believe that.
Well,
people literally can let themselves be insulted by the left so much to say
it is, Billy. I mean, I'm serious. If you look at the story with this housing bubble thing, people want to talk about greedy bankers, okay? Well, you know, they never talk about the government's role. You mentioned it earlier. These banks were forced, okay, to do this because you had a phony report. It came out of the Dallas Fed. They made up this report. It's been discredited totally that there was that redlining, they called it, like you were talking about. They were certain neighborhoods were not being serviced because, well, of course, basically the bankers are racist. And so you have the Community Reinvestment Act, which was passed in 77, but it was under Clinton. And the current governor of New York, Cuomo, they went after these banks with Janet Reno at the Justice Department and pretty much, as you said, held a gun to their head, okay? You figure out how to make these loans, okay? You figure out how to do this, and then they got Fannie and Freddie involved with buying all these mortgages, essentially telling these banks, hey, don't worry, make as many of them as you can. The taxpayers will cover it if anything goes bad. And then they turn around and they blame the greed of bankers and the greed of Wall Street, okay? And people have got to start disseminating this information for themselves. Okay.
Or paying attention,
exactly.
You know, because they're listening to the media and they're listening to the politicians instead of actually going out and being informed, you know, about what's going on.
I mean, it's just, and this is kind of what we're talking about on this evening as we get ready to hopefully get some results coming in here soon is that, you know, people like us have been sitting here for the past, I related a story when I went to the last presidential election in 08, I was living in California of all places. So I had to get up early on voting day, walk to my poll in Napa, California, where I'm pretty sure I was one of three Republicans in the entire area, okay, and cast a vote for a man who, although I totally respect his military service politically, I have always despised John McCain, okay? And I had to go out and do what I thought was the right thing to do. But you know what? I didn't feel any enthusiasm. I didn't feel we were going to win that election. When I got up this morning at 7 a.m. to go to the polls, I went with a spring in my step. I went with this feeling like, you know what, this is going to make a difference, this vote, and we are going to win this thing. The enthusiasm, because of what we have seen, and I think other people have picked up on that as well.
Yeah, and I think I'm seeing Twitter feeds and things coming in from Florida that there's very long lines in the heavily Republican districts, like an hour and a half wait there. And I'm also seeing they're still coming out of Pennsylvania with some really long lines there. So if anybody out there is listening and from another state that could give us on-the-ground updates, give us a call. And is this Danny holding at 502, Billy? Do you know?
It is.
Okay. Is he just listening?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll pull him in.
Okay.
But I think he was dropped and he called back.
Yeah, I think so,
hey,
too.
Hey, Danny?
Yes?
Hey, did you have anything else to say?
We're going to win.
I sure hope we are. Yeah.
And
good.
I believe there's going to be some shockers in the Senate.
There's going to be coattails. because people are fed up. There's a lot more proud Americans in this country than you know, people who want to see the change that they were trying to bring about. So,
and I'm hoping maybe like the New Yorkers and New Jersey people that are fed up might just go vote for a Republican senator.
You know, they're pretty mad. They're pretty mad. So, you know, it could happen. It could happen.
Now, Brenda, I just wanted to get an update from you since you're in Indiana. Mike Pence, he's not in any danger, is he? Is he
going
to win the...
No, he's going to win big. Yeah.
Okay.
No. Like I said, they didn't even put out any Democratic signs here in our county for the guy who's running second to him. But no, Mike Pence is going to win. It's going to be probably just a huge Republican. Murdoch's going to win. Like I said, the internal polling was going his way, and with people just voting straight ticket, I'm pretty sure Murdoch's going to come out on top of that. So,
but you know what was funny is when Wall Street Journal or someone came out with a phony tally of the votes a while back. There was this phony tally. I think I was telling you about this, Brenda, but they had like Mike Pence down.
Tally.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope that's not true.
No.
It was like 900,000 to 400,000. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. And here's the funny thing, guys. Like, I think it was Friday. The Donnelly team comes out with this poll, which they won't tell you who they polled or how many they polled, you know, of Democrats and Independents. That shows Donnelly up by 11 and Pence only down by 6. And it's like, that ain't right, because I had just gotten an email from the Murdoch campaign. You know, we were up by 1 at that point. So I think they're kind of just stretching. You know, they're just trying to spread lies to try to discourage people from getting out. And
but, yeah,
and
you want
vote,
to know the funny
so.
Part. They're discouraging their own people. If people think, hey, they're up by 11, we don't have to vote.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's why we're going to win, because their own people think they're up.
And not just that, we in Indiana have been so complacent because we always go Republican, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we actually had ground game in Indiana. We had people calling. I called people yesterday and they're like, you're like the third person to call and tell me to go out. And it was like, wow, this is Indiana, you know, where we're usually always, you know, 2008 was a fluke. I think they cheated probably in the Gary area and Indianapolis. But, you know, this is Indiana. We're a red state. And to get people getting phone calls and actually saying, would you just quit bothering me? And, you know, it's nothing like what they were getting in Ohio. But when I started seeing that yesterday, I'm just thinking, we're going to win this thing. Yeah. Because it's Indiana, and they're making phone calls, these super PACs, and people are making phone calls into Indiana. So it's pretty awesome, I think. It's kind of neat.
I just got a message from Rick on Facebook, who's telling me that down in Southwest Florida, looks like they're about hour and a half waiting times still to get into the polls down there. So it's heavy turnout in that area as well.
Nice, that's awesome. And
that's a Republican part of the state too.
Yes.
Yep. And the thing that they're just not really realizing is the only reason we even have early voting is to appease to the Democrats, so to speak, because they wanted it and they've got it now. And guess what? When they early vote, we have a feel for how many more people we need to vote on on election day. So we get those people out there.
Yeah.
And it's not the best model to go by, but it works.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of Republicans like myself, we were taught that you don't vote early, you vote on election day, and that's why, you know, a lot of Republicans don't vote early. And I was finding this in Ohio, because that's what we were actually asking when I was there on Saturday and Sunday, is did you vote or are you planning to vote? And I had quite a few that were planning to vote that had not actually voted yet. So, you know, it's just kind of a...
It's like, to me, my grandmother always said it was bad luck. So, I'm Catholic, so I come from a very superstitious family, you know.
Right.
Everything's superstitious, you know, you drop the salt, you got to throw some over your left shoulder.
I don't know what it is. I just like the idea of getting up and going out to the polling place. And however you do it, I know here in Pennsylvania we use the voting machines. There's just something about getting out and doing that that makes you know, it's what separates us from so many different societies across the face of the globe, and I just enjoy the experience. I wouldn't want to just mail – I had to mail my votes in when my wife and I were overseas, and it just didn't have the same, you know, oomph for me as getting out to the polling place.
Yeah, and it was really neat today actually talking to people in line and stuff. I kind of enjoy that, and you kind of get a feel for what's happening around you. And we have these interesting machines here. They're not really computers. You know, they have like the little button on the side that you push, and then you enter it onto a paper thing. But, you know, we don't have the touch screen ones that they're reporting problems with. But so, you know, I've always felt really comfortable with our elections here for the most part in Indiana from that aspect. And, of course, we don't have to have policemen and things, at least not in my neck of the woods, so to say.
In the polling places,
you know, we don't have people standing outside with batons. So, you know.
Yeah, originally here in Iowa, they were going to have the traditional marriage amendment type thing, but they didn't do it that way this year. Because of some stupid rule about electing judges. So what they did in 2010 is they got rid of three of the liberal judges who had basically signed marriage licenses for same-sex marriages, which made it legal. And this year they're just getting rid of the other one who didn't get voted out last time. And it's just, you know, one of the big things that we're seeing is that higher evangelical calling, so to speak, at the polls because of such things that, you know, the liberals like to do. They like to be legislating from the bench. They like to be trying to dictate the morals of our state without even going through the rest of the electorate, you know?
So now, Billy, I'm not from, of course, I think I've been through Iowa once, but I know it's an interesting political state. Can you kind of maybe talk a little bit about the makeup politically of Iowa and how that works out, different parts of the state, maybe?
Well, okay, there's like three really heavy Democrat areas in Iowa: Des Moines, the east, the very east, the way close to Chicago area by Dubuque and stuff like that. And then down by Ames and Council Bluffs, they're a little bit more red in Council Bluffs, but they're a little more blue in Ames. But the rest of the state is completely red. And there's still a higher population between the rest of the state and those three areas. And it's just a matter of getting people to the polls. It is. It's like my job today was basically this morning from 9 till I got online and was talking to Brenda at about, 2:30, my time. I was taking people to the polls. I was going out to rural areas and bringing them to town. And that was something that, these are people who have lived here their whole lives and never voted, a lot of them. And they wanted to vote this year, but they, like, called the Republican office here saying we just don't have a way into town. We had to sell our last house, our last car, you know, so we need to get into town to vote. And then they called me up and said, hey, do you have, you know, the time this morning? And it was just something that we're seeing here is a big push for the more rural areas to get in the polls.
Yeah, because, you know, voter turnout. In most elections, we don't get over 58%. We've never had even close to 80 to 90% turnout in a presidential election of registered voters because people didn't take the time or the interest, and, you know, which is kind of a sad thing in our country. But, you know, if we turn out, you know, we have such potential to turn out a large amount of, like you said, the evangelicals and that type of thing, which will really, really swing this election. So let's see who we got calling in at 505 and see what they've got for us.
Hi.
Hi.
Sue?
Yes. Yeah.
From New Mexico.
I went to vote today, and I got some good news, let me tell you. I was astounded. If New Mexico goes for Obama, the only reason that will happen is because of the illegal alien vote. I did not see any Obama signs not even outside of the polling place. I saw Romney signs. I saw a lot of Catholic vote pro-choice Romney. That is what I was seeing. And Santa Fe, New Mexico is a sanctuary city, very liberal. I did not see one, not one, on over 200 cars, if I drove around a little bit, that had an Obama bumper sticker on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am getting more excited by the minute to see what these results start bringing in because...
Yeah, and we have to be honest. Sue just called because I'm talking on the show. She stalks me. You guys know that. Yeah.
I got to tell you, too, the most often thing I saw, all of the businesses, it looks like it's Flag Day. They have the American flag up on tall poles blowing in the breeze. And that, to me, was awesome and an awesome statement. So I'll let you guys go on. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Sue.
And it's a fantastic day.
It is. And if anybody else is out there, from anybody we haven't heard for now, I saw somebody just post that voting is up in California.
Yeah.
There for whatever you want to take it. I know there's a lot of Catholics there. I know they were working with us on the Rick Santorum campaign to get out the vote in this Catholic area. Could be interesting, but I'm not going to go so far as to say California goes red. But you know,
you know what? It went red for Reagan.
But he was governor there, so you know that he had an in.
Well, then I wouldn't be surprised if Massachusetts goes red.
Except for they had the numbers were just not there.
I know Massachusetts has no chance, but Michigan does.
Yeah,
but,
and one
thing I did hear about California is that a lot of people are really upset with Obama over the wars and Gitmo, and they may vote Roseanne Barr.
That's true. And if the liberals do that, if they do that, and we have a large Republican turnout, never say never.
Is she running with Cindy Sheehan? Is that her running mate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And she was on our ballot here in Iowa. But I'll tell you, my stepson has said the same thing. He literally said the only candidate that comes even close to how he feels is Roseanne Barr. And I'm like, so what? It's between Romney and Obama. Don't go below those two. And he's like, no. I'm going to vote for who I agree with, not the people that, you know, are one of them that's going to win. I'm like, then why vote?
Yeah. But so it's just pretty interesting. I'm really, let's see, our polls here close at 6 p.m. Eastern time, so they're going to close in about a half an hour, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't have lines running out the door, and you're allowed to vote, you know, the last person in line gets the vote, so I don't know if we'll go a little bit late with that.
I actually found a copy of Roseanne Barr singing our national anthem, and I sent it to him.
Oh,
and I said, can you imagine this again?
One thing I would like to say about Pennsylvania is I have never seen so much opposition to a Democrat president in my life. The billboards are all over the place up there, and yard signs. Stop the war on coal. Far Obama, he's incompetent. Real unemployment rate's 15%.
Yeah, and Danny, this is not just in Pennsylvania. This is all over the country. Does anybody on here recall an election in history when we had these kind of signs out?
No, not really. I honestly don't even remember it being this divisive during Clinton's years between, you know, Mondale or Dover. And it was like, this is a Dukakis. I think Dukakis was the worst that I remember.
Yeah.
And in Ohio, I've seen a bunch of churches with signs out saying vote religious freedom.
Yeah.
And that's the huge voting block. They stayed home in 2008.
And I don't know if anybody caught it on Breitbart, but on Breitbart they had a sermon that was given on Sunday by a Catholic priest who, you know, he didn't really bring either candidate's name into it, but he basically talked about the intrinsic evil and voting against the intrinsic evil versus the one who is not is against the intrinsic evil. And even here, when I went to church on Sunday, they had a sermon about how anyone, I mean, literally, I have to admit, I have a pretty cool priest. He came out and said, literally, if any one of my flock here wants to vote against Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon, I haven't gotten through and I need to re-educate you. Because... And he goes, and I would like you to raise your hands right now. Nobody raised their hands. But then he said, let's put it this way. There, as far as whether Mormonism is a cult or not, let's put that aside. The fact is we have to hold on to our values. And our forefathers, let's go all the way back to our forefathers who were deists, okay? If that's not a cult, what is? And those were the best men and the best leaders that ever existed. So you cannot declare what you're a good enough leader for this country based on his religion, and don't even try. And that
because it's about values and it's about moral values, not necessarily religious values. And we don't want the president imposing religious values on us as a country, because that's what the Constitution was against. Because, you know, in England, they had that problem because the Church of England was actually imposing their rule on the whole country. And we really don't want that in our government. So, you know, the fact is, if the man has values and does, you know, believe in the good living and living up to a standard, which Romney, okay, the man doesn't drink coffee. He doesn't drink alcohol. You know, this is a good moral man.
Yeah, and you heard about the Root Beer Summit today, didn't you?
The what now?
The Root Beer Summit?
No, I did not.
Yeah, he was asked on a radio show whether he'd have a beer summit with the guys after he got elected. He goes, well, maybe root beer.
Oh, wait, that has caffeine in it, too. I don't know if you can even do root beer.
No, not all root beer has
careful,
caffeine.
Because,
no, some root beer is caffeine-free.
All beer
okay,
is
that's
free.
No, they do have some root beer that has caffeine in it. I think Barks maybe has caffeine.
Yeah, there is such a thing as a caffeine-free root beer, so there has to be caffeine in some of them. But I know that A&W or Mug, whenever you buy it, it says right on the thing, caffeine-free.
Yeah, so, you know, so he could have a root beer. But anyway, we also want to remind our listeners that from here we're going to Billy or Dana. Can you tell us which show's coming up next?
Yeah, I just dropped the link. We're going to go to the Patriot Zone Forum with the great Stephen the Voice Vandergast. Although his voice tonight may not be as great, he has got a little strep throat. So he's going to soldier through though, because he's waiting to do his happy dance tonight. That's what he's waiting for. So
You know, a lot of us have been together since like back in September. You know, working at first like Billy and I worked with Herman Cain and Danny and Michael and a lot of the people here on the Conservative Nation Radio, and we've been together through this for such a long time that we wanted to be together tonight, you know, when the results start coming in, and hopefully it's going to be
well
good.
If I could for just a minute, no matter what happens tonight, for anyone that's listening, you know, last night I was looking for inspiration. You know, I was feeling a little bit, you know, you always get a little antsy before the big event, and you know, I was reading about General Eisenhower, and I came across the message that he sent to the troops right before the landings at Normandy. But what was more interesting is reading the letter that he was composing about what happens if they weren't successful. And basically, to sum it all up, is that letter said, even if it doesn't work, the fight's not over, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to soldier on because this is our country, and we have to do whatever we can to take back the power and give it to the people where it belongs. So even if things don't go our way presidentially tonight, perhaps we can take the Senate, you build numbers in the House, and we fight on. You know, I'm very confident we're going to win, but I want people to understand that it's good to be with everybody tonight. And we'll celebrate hard if we win. If not, we'll take it. And in the morning, we'll get up and we'll start doing what we need to do to stop this man from completely destroying this nation.
Right. And also, even if we do win with Mitt Romney, you know, there's been a path of there's an agenda, and it just does, you know, Obama could never have accomplished what he did if he did not have a group backing him. Okay, and there is an agenda that's been going on for a very long time in this country. So, patriots, we are not done. When this election is over, we must continue to educate, and we must continue to be on our toes and actually educate against what's been happening and what we, you know, what changes we need to make. And because, you know, like Reagan said, you're just one election away from losing your freedoms, and We need to try to make it so it's not that way, that we truly have a proud and strong America, and that our kids are learning about the strong traditions of our founding fathers. So
my youngest son today got to vote in his first election, just turned 18, and he was proud to go do it. He cast his vote for Mitt Romney, and we were talking. He asked me a question on the way home from the polling place. He said, you know, you're always working in the political thing. You're doing all this stuff. When are you going to be satisfied? I thought it was a fair question. I said, on the day that I can wake up and the federal government is in the back of my head, not the front of it, where I'm always thinking about it, that's the day I'm going to be satisfied. When we put it back in the box where it doesn't affect our lives on an everyday basis, that's the way it should be. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to see that in my lifetime. I mean, it took us 100 years to get here. I'm probably not going to see that day, but I'm hoping that he will. That's what I'm doing it for.
Absolutely. Let's get this back to the state level where it should have always stayed, and let it belong there, and let the government worry about protecting us, you know, and whatever treaties they need to make with, you know, other countries. But let America be America. Let the industries rise. Let the people rise and keep that American dream alive. So, wow. Wow, Holger's giving us that Missouri may have 80% turnout.
Wow.
Wow. If that is true, that is truly amazing.
I really think we're going to see historic numbers tonight. I really do. I think the turnout is going to be – that's why we were talking earlier. These polls, I don't think anyone could predict the kind of turnout that you're going to see here, in some of these states especially. I think Ohio is going to have record turnout. There's just no doubt in my mind about that, just talking to people on the ground there. You know, 2008 was a big turnout year for folks in Ohio, but it's even bigger this year. I mean, it's just –
yeah,
you know, just incredible. And it's really, I'm glad to see that, because I actually think the bigger the turnout, the better that is for Mitt Romney.
Okay, here's another one coming in. He says, early voting in GOP Butler County outside Cincinnati sees 121%,
wow,
121% gain over 2008. That is huge, people.
And that's a huge Republican area in Butler County. I mean, that's a huge area. So if you're getting those kind of strong numbers out of these Republican areas, that could be that could spell trouble for Barack Obama in Ohio.
And that
I think it's Butler County that has no elected Democrats.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good news. And then certainly
judges
make it
anything.
Cool. Well, judges aren't supposed to have a party affiliation, technically. Because, they're supposed to be bipartisan, and they're not supposed to have an affiliation. But I actually voted against a few of our Supreme Court justices here in Indiana based on their voting record. So we'll see what happens with that. Most people don't even know who the president is, let alone who the judges are who are running, so, which is kind of sad. But I was fortunate enough to be informed by several groups on the ruling opinions. And it's really – what's hard is that when people call the office, because I was volunteering down at our local GOP office, and you can't tell them who to vote for. You refer them to sites. You know, you can go here and check this out. But, you know, you can't just actually say, well, we would say vote for this person. You know, you can't tell them who to vote for. You know, unlike the Democrats, we Republicans do have standards as far as we do follow the law as it is written. But so yeah. Some good things going to be happening. So
I think as this evening progresses, I think there's a few things that you'll be looking for, and I think as you start to see the numbers, just the raw numbers, I am just here in Pennsylvania. This is just incredible. The last election I actually was on the ground for here was 2000, and the election here in 2000, this turnout today was just so far ahead of what they were doing in 2000. And I think some of the poll workers around here were actually a little overwhelmed today with the amount of people that were coming through. So, and I can honestly tell you that as goes Ohio, Pennsylvania, big coal country, energy country, and they are afraid of what this administration is going to do. They know what they've already done. We have coal mines that have actually shut down here in central Pennsylvania, a place called Cambria County, which is another county to watch tonight when you're looking at election results. And, you know, Bernie, you were talking about living on the state level. Tonight when you guys are looking at the elections, don't just look at the state elections. Dig a little further because there are certain counties in these states that really tell you a lot about what's going on within those states. And
yeah.
In Pennsylvania, that'll be Cambria County, which is central Pennsylvania, and Bucks County, which is on the eastern side. That's more the suburbs of Philly. Those are two that'll be key. If they trend well for Romney, he's going to do very well in the state.
Well, our Democratic county here in the state is Marion County, and then probably up by Gary. But Marion County is probably, that's Indianapolis, and that's our largest city and our largest stronghold. Allen County, where I'm at, is a heavily Republican district. And we've been seeing, like I said, we've seen really good turnout today here in our district. So so it is going to be interesting to watch those, you know, those areas and see how they play out. So
here in Iowa, I almost said Wisconsin because that's where I'm from. But in Wisconsin, honestly, I'm hoping they go for Romney, but I don't want
to. Actually, I just was looking at something, and they said it was looking like the Walker recall election, and except for they were having some higher turnout in some of the Republican districts. So Wisconsin may be some good news coming in later tonight. So although Obama had his buses on the ground, busing people to the polls. So it's not legal, but they were doing it and they're getting away with it.
Well, it's only not legal if the people are from out of state.
Well, they were. And they were actually political buses that they use in their offices.
Well, it's not that it's illegal. I mean, technically the thing I don't like about a president, you can't sue him. Whenever we, the taxpayer, should have the right to sue our president. I think that's good.
Well, our Congress has sued him, which is kind of sad, but yeah,
right.
It's really bad when you know that the Congress has to sue the president. I mean, that's really sad. That's not how that's supposed to work.
I just wanted to say, ladies, I'm gonna have to drop out a little bit. I need to take a little bit of a break because I promised Mr. Voice Vandergast that I would go over and help him out since his voice is not doing too well tonight. But
awesome.
I really wanted to thank you guys once again for doing this, and your program is fantastic. I love to listen for a change to two conservative ladies bat the issues around from your perspective. It's always good. And I turned my wife onto your show as well. She's away on deployment, but she downloads all the stuff and listens to them afterwards. So, you know, I think it's really great that you have two women who are talking about the issues. And I once again want to thank you. And we'll see you around tonight as we go through these results. And hopefully we'll have a big old party later on. Okay?
Oh, but, great. Thank you, Dana, for joining us. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dana.
You guys take care. We'll see you a little bit later.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. And I just reposted the link because in 20 minutes or so, just a little over 20 minutes, we're going to go to this other show with Stephen and Dana. And we're going to keep talking. We're going to follow these results as they come in. Blog Talk Radio is working together with multiple different networks here on the Blog Talk to bring you complete election night coverage. So we hope you stay with us, and hopefully we'll have some celebration going on here in a little bit.
Absolutely.
They're saying that the Democrats are going to try to spread rumors that Romney's down to to prevent people from getting out and voting. I don't think it's going to matter because I think at this point people are tuned out of the media and
well,
more
see,
tuned into America.
Well,
so.
This is their problem. We want to spread a rumor to the Republicans and say, oh, Romney's down, so he's not going to win. You want to know what that does? That determines one Republican to go find five more, okay?
Right.
That doesn't
right.
take us down and out. We're not the ones who give up and say we're not going to go to the polls. It's the Democrats who, if you were saying Obama is up, are not going to show up because they think they're not needed.
Yes. It's kind of funny because they don't understand. I don't think they understand how we think. You know what I'm
they
saying?
Don't.
I think they don't have a clue. Yeah.
Well, now, in 08, that might have worked.
Yes, in 08, it would have worked. Absolutely.
Yeah,
a lot of
I thought that would happen.
But see, the thing is, common sense kicks in once in a while, and we wised up. And when we wise up, we don't unwise ourselves again. You know, the thing is,
right.
we learn from our mistakes. We made a mistake in 2008. We know that, but
yes.
we're learning from it. And 2010 should be a good measure of how much we learned.
Yes, and I'm just. Now I'm going to get speechless because I'm going to get real nervous here coming pretty soon when the results start to come out. So it could be interesting.
I'm anxious. I want to say that. I wish I had some sort of like Prozac or something to calm me down. I don't know.
I know. I have this nervous thing I do with my legs where they bounce, and right now they're just like bouncing up and down. So,
you know what? My daughter was saying that to me yesterday because that only happens like sometimes when, well, it's funny because when I'm eating, I sometimes tap my leg up and down and my daughter would always point it out to me and I'd say, oh, I'm just a happy eater, you know, and it actually is like a nervous condition, but lately it's like, it's not just that twitch anymore. It's just, I can't sit still. I want to get up and stand and walk around and pace back and forth and then sit down again. It's an anxiety that I'm like, okay, I really need to calm down. I'm consciously aware of it, and I know it's there, and I know that, you know, I can stabilize it if I'm thinking stabilize it, but I'm still anxious.
Yeah, mine, I've just always had it, and, you know, I don't sit still, but right now as I'm sitting here, it's like both legs are going 100 miles a minute. I'm going to get my exercise as I'm sitting here waiting for these results to come in. But so far, it's looking good. You know, we got reports here from all over the country, at least in some critical areas, that may spell really good things for Mitt Romney tonight and for the conservative cause and for taking our nation, for America. You know, this isn't just about a man. This is about our country, and so that's what we need to keep in mind. This is for America. It's not against, you know, the Democrats. We don't want to create that divide. We want to try to unite people. And there's going to be somebody who's going to be upset either way. And we just need to try not to.
Yeah, I think that's something we might want to just discuss a little bit and touch base on is. If Obama were to win, what kind of a feeling do you expect to be out there?
Oh, I think there's going to be fear. I think there's some groups out there that are very, very...
Do you think maybe those doomsday prepper type planners, you know, the ones that, you know, build a bomb shelter in the backyard and have an arsenal and a bunch of food stored up and everything? Or do you think they'll get up
there? They'll be out there. I don't know what they'll be doing. You know, I know if they try to take their guns away, this country will end up in a civil war because nobody's going to let anybody take our guns. But here's a guy reporting in from Atlanta, Georgia, that says a guy voted in a heavily liberal area. Now I'm losing my comeback here, my tweet. He was number 347 at 4 p.m. And in 2008, he was number 2,000. So this stuff is really good numbers coming in.
Enthusiasm
gap.
It is. It is. And not just enthusiasm, American pride, because I think, you know, we, most Americans are proud to be Americans. You know, we don't want to change. I don't want to be Europe. If I wanted to be Europe, I would go live in Europe. I like my country, you know. I like it just the way it is. I like my freedoms, although they're taken more and more away every day, you know, and this is what we've got to put a stop to. And, you know, I'm very proud to be an American, actually a second-generation immigrant, because my mom's parents came from Europe, overseas, in Czechoslovakia, Hungary. So, you know, I have no problem with legal immigration, because that's what America is. But let's not be changing America. You know, let's keep America as she is and be proud of what we have. And why, you know, why do people hate us? People hate things that are better than they are, you know?
This is where I see it wrong. I see it in a wrong light. Isn't it that people hate people who are better than they are? What they do is they ascribe to the envious mentality of, okay, if they have that and I want that, I got to find a way to get that.
Yes.
And they end up ascribing to communism. They go for the whole philosophy of, I'm going to let the government force that person I'm envious of to give it to me. And it comes down to, you know, I hate saying it, being a Catholic, I actually believe in the seven deadly sins. I mean, I literally believe that, you know, envy, pride, lust, gluttony, sloth, wrath, and whatever the other one was. But anyway, yeah. I believe that those deadly sins are the evils that God does not forgive. I really do. And I think that they are something that people are becoming too comfortable with, because they think that God forgives all sins. And it becomes a complacency out there, that God automatically is going to say, you know what, everyone's welcome into heaven. No, Jesus, salvation Jesus gave to us was nothing more than opening the doors and letting us walk into them so we can be judged. But you know what, we're going to be judged.
And you're going to be judged on what, Billy? You're going to be judged on what you've done. And you can't just go around, you know, doing these things that you know aren't right and then saying, oh, well, God's going to forgive me anyway. You've got to at least strive to try to achieve, you know, that perfection, which none of us will ever get to.
It comes down to our faith, whether we have it or not. You know, when Jesus says, Lord, or the people that say, Lord, Lord, are not, you know, he's going to say, I didn't know you. Because people out there that say, oh, yeah, I died, or Jesus died for me. Well, you know what? They're out there and they go out and then they murder someone. Yeah, Jesus died for me. I'm going to heaven anyway. No, that's not what it meant. That's not what salvation is about. That's not what, I mean, the thing is that people don't even understand with forgiveness is you have to do a quote-unquote work to become forgiven. What is that? You have to ask for it.
Yes. Well, that and
if
faith.
You do not ask, you are not forgiven.
Right. Because and faith without works is dead. So if you are not actually working to perfect your faith or promote your faith and do the things, you know, that make you stronger in your faith, then, you know, faith without works is dead. So,
but
yeah, it's
like
not a free ride.
But I didn't want to get into a religious discussion, but it comes down to that's the same philosophy of the left, though, that no matter what I do, I'm going to get what I want. I want to go to heaven, so I'm just going to say, hey, guess what? Jesus died for my sins, so guess what? I'm going to heaven. I want what someone else has, so guess what? I'm going to go tell my government to make sure that someone else gives it to me. You know, it's just this, they feel that there's this, I don't know what to call it. It's a complacency in the society that everything they want, they can have, and someone else is going to be forced to give it to them.
Right, and that also falls into the communist Marxist utopia where, you know, the rich man, even though he may have earned all that himself, you know, he's against
the lower worker man, and the worker man needs to rise up and displace this man so we can all share together. We own no land, we all share it, and the worker men are going to actually be more fair because they know what it feels like. And what this whole principle of Marxism, communism, socialism doesn't take into account is man and man's propensity, Billy, toward greed and lust and envy. You know, this utopia they want doesn't exist and will never exist because man is not perfect. And no man is perfect. I don't care whether you're poor, middle class, high class. There is no perfect man. And,
no,
and that's
see, the
why
thing
this
is,
will
you
never
know,
work.
This is how I always try defining it to people when I do talk religion and stuff, because we are all sinners.
Right.
Every single one of us. And we all have been saved by the blood of Christ. Yet, we are not all evildoers. And the evildoers are the ones that are going to end up in hell.
Right.
And those are the ones that, even if they say, Jesus died for my sins and I'm covered in his blood, you know what? That's not going to shine through. Nobody's
right.
going to see through that because of your actions.
Yes.
And that evil doing is going to be what's weighed. And that's
yes.
going to weigh a lot more. Because you have to be faithful in your actions. If you know, it just doesn't. It, otherwise, what the hell good is there? You know,
yeah.
Why,
and why are any of us trying? Why are any of us trying? Because if it's true that you can just do whatever you want to and you're going to be saved anyway,
there's no
you know.
Reason not to do anything you want. But
exactly.
there's a reason not to do anything you want. It's because God asks us to obey. Obey.
Yes.
Obey
and what is and he asked us what to love our neighbors, you
yeah.
know, to care for the sick and the widows and care for the children.
My big thing, and I use this on my children all the time too, is because God Himself said to love me is to obey me,
yes,
or
yes,
to disobey me is to hate me. One of the two. But I always tell my children to love me is to obey me, because my children will say I love you, and it's like, well, then why are you disobeying me? You know.
No, you don't. If you did, you wouldn't treat me this way. Yeah, so, okay, we just have a few more minutes, and then I'm going to take us out with some Born Free from Kid Rock. That's been Mitt Romney's campaign song. So, and then we're going to go.
Commercial?
What's that?
Did you ever see that commercial with him and Sean Penn?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I gotta send you a copy.
You'll have to get that to me. If you look in our link section, we're going to post it again. This is where we're going to go to keep following the election coverage tonight. So you can join us over with Stephen and Dana so that we can continue to follow the polls as they start coming in. And we're actually going to have some numbers and hopefully some good news. We're seeing good things on the ground. So
I won't be there right away because I do have to cook dinner for my children.
yeah, you got to feed your family, I guess. But anybody
yeah.
out there listening, and we have quite a great bit of listeners, we thank you for tuning in today and sharing this moment with us. This is just normal people. You're all welcome to call into these shows and share your opinions and your thoughts, and hopefully we're all going to be celebrating here together in just a few hours. So we're hoping that's what the results are going to be. Our polls here in Indiana actually closed in about 7 minutes. I think they've already closed in Virginia, is it? I don't know, somewhere on the coast there they'll be closing.
I haven't heard yet. I've got the map up, but I don't see anything coming in quite yet.
Yeah,
I mean,
and they may delay it because it's not going to be good news, and so the media may try
yeah.
to keep us in the dark.
Yeah, especially since the best maps they have out there are on like HuffPo and Politico. So
yeah.
you know, I have to say those are really good interactive maps, and yeah. I just don't anticipate them having good news fast.
Yes, and actually, Huffington Post is so liberal that I don't recommend it for anything, but I do like their election coverage maps. Go ahead, Danny, what were you going to say?
You said your family came from Hungary?
Yes. Yes, my grandmother.
Did you see that by Thomas Felfrich?
No.
He's a Hungarian.
Oh, yes, I did. You mean the YouTube video where he was talking about, yes, I did see that. So, and so spot on. So spot on. And my grandma came here and she worked hard all her life to make a better life for her kids. You know,
he was supposed to have spent $5 million of his own money in swing states on that ad.
Yes. And you hear it from a lot of immigrants, even from Russia and different places, what they don't like that's what's happening here in our country because they've seen it before. And this is what people need to realize. You know, these people have lived it. They've seen it. It's not a good thing. And we don't want America to go that way. So with that, I'm going to take us out with a song. And then we need you all to, if you want to keep on listening to live election results as they come in here on Blog Talk Radio, I'll post the link again in the chat room. And we'll see you all on the other side. Thanks, guys.
But tell them if I don't survive, I'll fall.
Good night, everyone, and we'll see you over on the other network.
Going down to the lessons to what results should start trickling in. Huh? Oh, huge Romney turnout, huge Republican turnout all across the country. Who is it?
It's
going to
be close, Mom.
Huh? No, it's not. It's a landslide for Romney.
That'll be a landslide.
Yeah, it is. You should see the voter turnout.
New Hampshire, the first district.
Oh, look, and see, federal bans using transferring voters is not legal, and that's what Obama's doing.
In the first district, turned in their results this morning. It was 5-5.
What?
The first district in New Hampshire turned in their votes this morning.
Yeah, there was like 37 people.
It was 5-5. There were 10 people.
Oh, yeah, but this is the other. There's 37.
Yeah,
I'm going to be going to Cub Scouts in like 10 minutes probably.
What?
Not 10 minutes. I'm going to be going to Cub Scouts soon.
Okay. Yeah. Be careful.
Can I go to Tamara's afterwards, you think? For like an hour, I'll be home at 9.
As long as you call and let us know where you're at.
Okay, I'll call when I get there. When I get to Tamara's. Or if I decide to go or call.
Should have you grab all the signs there at the church.
You want me to?
Yeah,
but out by the church.
I put signs out for the Republican Party. The Romney, Brown.
You gonna grab them?
Murdoch. Yeah, I gotta take them back, I'm sure. Pence.
Names.
Well, some of them aren't mine. So these are the ones that I put out. Orth. Stutzman. Bennett.
Teachers don't like Tony Bennett.
I don't really care. That's why I voted for him. And there was a yellow sign that's a county coroner.
Even my Republican teachers didn't like him. Oh, no, like, nobody likes him at school for some reason.
Apparently. Who else did I put out? Cool. Did I put out anybody else? Murdoch, Romney, Pence, or Stutzman. Oh, yeah, there was one more. He was Attorney General. Zellner. Yeah, those are the ones I put out. So if you can bring those with you, I won't have to go get them.
Oh, yeah, none of my teachers like Tony Bennett.
Huh?
None of my teachers like Tony Bennett.
You might what?
None of my teachers like Tony Bennett.
Yeah, I know.
Even my Republican teachers don't like him. Nobody likes him. I don't know why, though. I didn't ask. But it was just like, he was in the school one day, and all my teachers were, like, so mad. It was weird.
You. your radio program?
What?
You done?
I'm done broadcasting, yeah, but I'm listening.
Oh, you're
listening. So, but you, no, I'm just listening, so you can do whatever you want.
Piece of piss.
go, Dad. Bye. I love you, too.
Be careful, honey.
Bye, Mom.
Love you.
Love you, too.
What?
plug the phone back in if you want.
What?
You ain't going to be on the radio anymore tonight.
I can't hear you. What?
Plug the phone in if you're not going to be on the radio.
If I get, do, I'll call in.
Voters in every state are choosing a president. America as they left the polls today, and 52% told us that the country is on the wrong track. 46% said the country is headed in the right direction, and that's more than twice as many as the last time we asked 4 years ago. When we asked which quality in a candidate is most important to them, 29% said a vision for the future, 28% said shares my values, 20% cares about me, and 19% said the most important quality in a candidate is that he is a strong leader. Our entire campaign 2012 team is covering this election night. First, we'll go to Jan Crawford in Boston with the Romney campaign. Jan?
Well, Scott, after 17 months of campaigning that hard-fought primary and then, of course, the bruising general election battle, Governor Romney and his wife, Ann, cast their votes this morning here in Massachusetts. But then Governor Romney was off for a little more campaigning, trying to get every possible vote, went to Ohio and Pennsylvania. Here's what he said when he met with some campaign workers in that must-win state of Ohio.
If we get folks out to vote, we'll have the real change we really need in this country. And I'm so excited about the prospects. I got to tell you, I'm buoyed by the spirit of the people across the nation. The enthusiasm, the support, the energy is just amazing. Thank you.
And that, of course, is the key, is they can get their supporters out to vote. Campaign sources I'm talking to tonight say they are encouraged by what they're seeing. They believe they have a big turnout. Their numbers will outperform what John McCain did in 2008. But they are concerned about some of the numbers they're seeing for the president, particularly in places like Florida, Virginia, and Ohio. And, of course, Scott, it's that turnout today that's going to make a difference tonight.
Jen, thank you. Now we're going to switch to Nancy Cordes in Chicago covering the Obama campaign. Nancy.
Scott, the president spent the entire day here in Chicago. He did about a dozen satellite interviews with local TV stations from battleground states. Then he visited a campaign office where he dialed up workers and volunteers in other cities to thank them for everything that they've done. While he was there, he told reporters he's feeling confident.
Looking for the results. And I expect that we'll have a good night. But no matter what happens, I just want to say how much I appreciate everybody who supported me, everybody who supports a lot of my behalf. Again, I want to congratulate Governor Romney and his team for a hard-fought race.
After that, the president hits the basketball court. The day his family and friends, it's an election day tradition of his, were told the president's team won by about 20 points. And while campaign officials don't expect a blowout like that tonight, they tell me that they're feeling very good about the numbers that they're seeing. No big surprises here, when they told me that.
Nancy, thank you. As we mentioned, we've been talking to voters as they left the polls all day today. Anthony Mason in Studio 57 will be following these exit polls for us tonight. And Anthony, what do you know so far?
Well, Scott, to start with, throughout the night, we're going to be keeping an eye on the nine battleground states you see on the board behind me here. But we wanted to begin with a little snapshot of the national mood. No surprise, the economy, the number one issue among voters, 60% put it at the top of the list. Healthcare was a distant second. Unemployment was the biggest concern about the economy. And what's interesting, though, is that 39% of the people in our exit poll, the voters we talked to, told us that the economy is getting better. This is a number that's been inching up bit by bit in our national polls in recent months. Still 31% say it's getting worse, 28% say it's about the same. President Obama, of course, spent a lot of time in New Jersey dealing with the response to Hurricane Sandy. 41% of the voters we talked to said that was an important factor in how they cast their vote. But most people had already made up their minds. Only 8% told us that they made up their minds in the last few days. 11% said they made up their minds in October. But fully almost 80% got that they had decided who to vote for before that.
Anthony, thanks very much. Let's bring in our chief Washington correspondent and anchor of Face the Nation, Bob Schieffer, and the co-anchor of CBS This Morning, Nora McDonald. Bob, too close to call. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, Scott, what I draw from this first wave of exit polls, it just underlines why the election has been so hard to figure out. As it has from the beginning, the data is simply contradictory. For example, our exit polling has some good news for the president. 43% believe the president's policies favor the middle class. 52% believe Governor Romney's policies favor the rich. Yet 53% believe the federal government is doing too much, while only 41% believe it should be doing more. So that should be good news for Governor Romney. And listen to this. On health care, 26% want to repeal the president's plan, but 25% want to extend it. This just tells you what we knew going in. The country is deeply divided, Scott. We're going to be here for a while.
A divided nation. Nora, what are you looking for?
That's right, a divided nation, and we know one of the biggest headwinds facing the president has been the state of this economy with unemployment at 7.9%. One of the things the president is trying to...
What?
Hold on. Here she is.
Who's it?
Dawn.
Hey.
Well, so far the only two states reporting anything are Indiana and Kentucky. And, of course, those are high percentage for Romney, but it's only 1% reporting. But I've talked to people who are in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Minnesota, and Virginia, and they said there were huge crowds at the polls, and the Republican areas had very large polling. So we have to wait because ain't nothing really coming in yet. The polls aren't closed. But, well, the polls, well, the only polls that... Yeah. We're the only polls that are closed in Kentucky and Indiana, and those are coming in for, they're going to, yeah, the good thing so far in Indiana is that Murdoch is winning, but we'll see. We haven't got, Marion County hasn't come in yet, that's Indianapolis, but Allen County hasn't come in yet either, that's us, so. It's coming in kind of slow, but right now in Indiana, it's 58,000 for Mitt and 36 for Obama, so 60% to less than 40.
Thank you, Nora. Now, of course, we keep talking.
Yeah, you know, there were so many people out in Leo and the conservative places, and in Ohio, they're saying in Hamilton County, which is the one that has high Republican, that they've had a huge turnout there today. So hopefully it's going to be good. We're all feeling pretty good. I'm listening to some of my friends. We've been on our blog talk shows since 4 and just getting on the ground reports. They said Pennsylvania, the turnout is huge in the coal county areas, which will go, you know, Pennsylvania may go for Romney. And Virginia, they said that 51% of the government union workers voted for Romney, plus it's coal country, plus it's, you know, it's military country. So Well, they have bases there, so, you know. So anyway, that's what it's looking like. We're just waiting, you know, waiting for the votes to come in. So, but my ground reports are good, and everybody's feeling pretty positive. So.
That's where the competition will be tonight, because those states...
Yeah, I had a guy who's in Pennsylvania, and he said the lines were huge, and even in Minnesota, they're projecting like an 80% turnout in Minnesota, because they have a... Yeah, I know. So, you know, if this turns out like I think it might, I mean, people, the media is going to be stunned because they're stupid, but, you know, yeah... Well, some people, but some people believe everything they say. You know, but, so the only ones really reporting much of anything right now, are, like I said, are Kentucky and Indiana, and he's going to carry those big. So, 2% reporting so far in those two. It's like, okay, well, what's interesting is that their counties throughout the state, you know, and so far, the only one that's a little bit blue is down by the by Louisville, of course. So, but like I said, Indianapolis hasn't come in. South of Indianapolis is coming in, and so far, even over by Terre Haute, so far, I don't have a percentage. So yeah, I think we're going to be good. I'm hoping. Well, you know, I think they're going to see, we're going to get Colorado, I think we're going to get Iowa, I think we're going to get Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, because they said the turnout in Wisconsin is even better than it was for Governor Walker in the Republican areas, and he, you know, in his recall election. So, I think it's going to be a lot bigger than they think it's going to be. So,
who wins the youth vote? That is voters under
age 35. Oh, no, when they were, okay. They were polling with plus 6 or plus 8 Democrat. Well, there isn't a plus 6 or plus 8 Democrat out there anymore. It's evenly split Republican, Democrat, and then you have her independent. So, their polls were wrong to begin with. Yeah, and then the turnout. I have never seen ground game. We had people in Indiana getting 3 and 4 phone calls from different groups telling them to get out and vote. Now, I've never seen that because, you know, Indiana, we just pretty much go, okay, we're going to go vote, you know. So I'm feeling pretty positive at this point.
Scott, that could be decisive tonight in this razor-thin fight for battleground Virginia.
Actually, Democrats, I had a woman who's in down by Indianapolis, and she said there were a lot of Democrats in line saying they were voting Republican. So, yeah, so I think it's going to be a blow up.
Yes, evening news continues.
Well, yeah, even in Chicago, they were down, you know, voting with